Hi folks, Bob Main here. Welcome to another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you harness the power of choice to live life the way you want to live it on your own terms. And I think that's what the power of choice really is, how to live it on your own terms. Strengthening your resolve is what I talk about on this show. I really believe that resolve is one of the most important qualities that a good survivalist possesses. The ability to do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. Teddy Roosevelt made those words famous, and I just repeat them on almost every show. And so this is episode number 120. Today is November 24th. Wow, 120 episodes. I can't believe I've done this 120 times. Thank you for listening all these times, folks. As a matter of fact, I've done this more than 120 times, but you've only heard 120 of them. There have been some that I've done, and I said, I just don't like that. I just did it over again. So some of these have had a couple of takes to them. But for the most part, I just talk my thoughts and basically put them into an MP3 format and post them to the WordPress blog site at todayssurvival.com and then upload them to iTunes for you so that you can listen to it. So I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving since that's tomorrow. And I'm going to talk about being thankful. And I'm going to talk a little bit about our country's past in the United States and how Thanksgiving came about. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the history of Thanksgiving because it has some survival meanings to it. What's interesting is if you look at the history of Thanksgiving and if you look at why we celebrate this holiday, and I think that one of the problems that we have in any society, not just America, is people forget why they celebrate things. Don't you agree? They forget why. It's like that with Christmas. But I'm not going to talk about Christmas right now because that's a month away. Can you believe that? Whew, man, I can't believe it. Time is flying. But they forget why things came about. Now, first of all, I want to say I think having a thankful heart is important to being a survivalist. I really do. And this might be a shorter show than normal. Because I'm actually taking advantage of a little bit of windshield time. I'm actually working today. I know a lot of people have taken this week off. I did not because I've started a new job. I'm working trying to get all the necessary components together to be successful at my new venture. So I'm between appointments and taking advantage of some windshield time. But I think having a thankful heart, being content, one of the problems that people get themselves into, in my humble opinion, I'm no expert. I'm no expert life analyst or anything like that. But I've made some mistakes along the way, and I just try to share them with you. And some of the mistakes I've made is not being content with what I had. And I've spoke about this before. I've done a show about this, but I think this is a perfect lead-in to a show about Thanksgiving. And I think having a sense of contentment with what you have. You know, I say do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. I think the mistake that people make is wanting too much, trying to take on too much, and not being satisfied with what they have. The thirst for always having to have something new, or the greatest, and the latest, and the best. You know, I've been frustrated with my computers lately. And I'm really resisting the urge to take a little bit of money out of my emergency fund and go get a new computer. I'm resisting that urge. It's hard. My new employer has provided me with a new laptop, but there's things I can't do. There are things that are restricted. And my old employer didn't restrict my laptop, so I was able to do pretty much whatever I wanted on that. And so I'm thinking, well, gee, should I go out and get a new computer? And then I'm thinking, no, that's not the survivalist mindset. The survivalist mindset is to do what I can with what I have. I have a home computer. It's a decent home computer. It's only about a year old, and it's running Windows 7, and it runs fine, just fine. Now, it's a desktop. It's not a laptop, so it's not portable, but guess what? I can get things done. So that's what I'm using to publish this podcast right now, because I'm restricted on my company laptop from using the software needed to publish this podcast. So what do I have to do? I have to wait till I get home. I can't publish it from the road anymore. Now, that might be temporary. I'll figure out a solution to that. But there's an example of doing what I can with what I have. available to me. And isn't that what a survivalist does? If you find yourself in a disaster situation, if the stink hits the fan, and I don't, you know, get into a lot of extreme theories on this show, folks. As you know, I keep this rooted in common sense. I don't get into a lot of tinfoil hat type thinking. But you could find yourself stranded if there's a disaster. And you're going to be left with doing what you can with whatever is available to you. That's why I believe that knowledge is more important than supplies. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't have supplies. I'm not saying you shouldn't stock up. But if you have to look at what's more important, if you're new to this, if you're new to prepping, and you're wondering, should I work on my skill level or should I work on acquiring stuff? I don't know. Well, if you're on a limited budget, which a lot of us are these days because times are tough, I would say work on your knowledge. There's a lot of free knowledge out there. There's a lot of Red Cross skill courses out there. There's a lot of courses being taught by local emergency response departments that don't cost any money. There's all kinds of classes out there being taught on all kinds of skills that you can acquire for survival, even for very little money. There are some people, thank God, that volunteer their time. There are some, you know, this world, folks, where would we be without volunteers? So one of the things I want to say that I'm thankful for, I'm going to give you a small list of things that I'm thankful for, and then I'll get into the history of Thanksgiving a little bit. I'm thankful that there's volunteers. Because I think without volunteers in this world, folks, we'd all have a hard time surviving. Don't you agree? We would all have a difficult time, a very difficult time surviving if there weren't volunteers. Think about the volunteers at charitable organizations. Think about the volunteers that are first responders out there. Think about the people who volunteer in law enforcement fields, people who volunteer for medical reasons, people who, you know, medical professionals that volunteer their time to help needy people. Perhaps some of you listening to this show may have been a benefactor of people who volunteered. I have been. Me and my family, we have benefited from other people's volunteer work. Thank God for that. Folks, I'm a man of faith. I do believe that the good Lord takes care of us. Now, I don't try to push my religion on anybody. This is not a religious show. I am a Christian, and I'm not afraid to admit that I am a Christian. But I'm also not going to say that if you're not a Christian that you're not a survivalist, because that's not true. You can be a survivalist regardless of whatever your faith is. And all people of faith are welcome, no matter what your faith is. And even if you don't have any faith, you're still welcome on this show and on our forum. By the way, I'll get into some announcements a little bit later, but don't forget to join the forum. But I believe that the good Lord moves people to volunteer, and I am thankful for that. So one of the meanings of Thanksgiving is let's be thankful that there are people out there who wish to volunteer their time. I volunteer pretty much, volunteer my time, to get on this show and speak to you. All these shows are free. There's no obligation for you to listen to my program. No financial obligation. The only thing you're giving up is your time. And you know what? That's the other thing I'm thankful for. Time. I'm thankful for your time, first of all, that you spend listening to me. You see, this is fun for me, folks, and this teaches me. And, you know, there's an old saying that one way to teach something is to have to present it. All right, sorry for the pause there, business phone call. So when you have to present something, that's one of the best ways to learn it. So I'm thankful for your time in allowing me to present this because it helps me. It helps me survive. It helps me survive because it keeps me sharp. It keeps me thinking about these types of things. It keeps my mind focused on preparation. You know, it's one of the reasons why I decided to launch this podcast is because I wanted to stay focused. And with my history in public speaking and my history in sales and marketing and things like that, I figured that one of the best ways to stay focused is to have to present something every week. And as you know, I first started doing this more than once a week, but now once a week pretty much fits my schedule. So I'm thankful for volunteers. I'm thankful for time. I'm certainly thankful for family, and you know, we've all had family challenges, folks. You know, those of you listening to this, probably one of your survival goals might be to help family members survive or to get people turned on to this. Have you ever noticed how hard it is just to get our own family members turned on to preparedness? I have a tough time with it. I struggle. You know, I get emails from some of you, and I see some of you posting on the forum saying that it's tough, that you have family members that think you're weird or strange or kooky because you're a prepper, because you store food and because you store water. And because you store shelter-making supplies and fire-making supplies and alternative ways to cook, and because you can food and because you dehydrate food and things like that, and because you find creative ways to store things, and because you stay out of debt, and because you start a garden, and because you follow, you know, Dave Ramsey or whatever other financial advice counselor that you follow, and because you stay frugal and you live like no one else so that later you can live like no one else. When you do things like that, people think you're strange because you're not keeping up with the Joneses. Because you're not lusting after everything that you really shouldn't be buying so that you don't go into major debt so it's easier for you to survive. That's not popular. That's not popular stuff, is it? Of course, I think it's fun. How many of you think it's fun? I think living a survival preparedness-minded lifestyle is a blast. You know, at first, I have to admit, when I first started this, it was a little strange. It was a whole lifestyle adjustment. But it quickly, it only took me about a month or two, and it quickly became fun. And it took me back to my roots. It took me back to the way I grew up. Because we grew up, when I was a kid, you know, living on a very small farm in Wisconsin. I like to call it a hobby farm. And the reason I call it a hobby farm is because it was really our hobby that helped sustain us. We were not professional farmers. So we didn't farm and resell, and it wasn't a commercial farm where we were selling our crops and selling our animals. We just raised them for us. It takes me back to my roots, and it takes me back to those simpler days. And so I'm thankful for the freedom to still be able to do that. I know I have a lot of international listeners to this show. I know I have a lot of you. I think there's about people from 9 different countries right now that listen to today's survival show. Thank you. Some of the countries that are people from countries listening to me, I've never been to your countries. So I'm not too familiar with some of your laws and your societies. Some of your countries I have been to, like I've been to parts of Europe, and I know that, in fact, I've been all over Western Europe. I know I have some Western European listeners. I know I have some UK listeners, and I've been to the UK more than once. But you know, the thing is that I'm thankful for the freedom we have here in the United States to be able to live pretty much any way we want. Now, there are people in our government, and I'm not going to name names or get too political, because I like to try to keep this show non-political. But certainly, as we all know, there's people in our government that would like to take some of the freedoms away from us. They think we're too free. And it doesn't matter what kind of a politician they are. It doesn't matter whether they're Republican or Democrat, does it? Now, I'm not going to say that I'm libertarian either. I'm not libertarian because, you know what, I don't believe in all that stuff. You know, I'm sorry, I hope I don't offend some people here. But I don't believe that you can go do whatever you want just as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Because there's a lot of things that when you do indirectly, they do hurt somebody else. So I guess I would kind of classify myself as I'm more towards the conservative side than I am liberal. I'm not just a middle-of-the-road political guy either. I'm certainly not a libertarian. I don't really know where I fit. Here's where I fit. I believe in individual freedom. Let's put it that way. I believe in individual freedom. However, I don't believe that we have the right to just go out and do whatever we feel like doing as long as it doesn't hurt someone else. Because you don't always know if it hurts someone else or not. See, who makes the judgment whether what you're doing hurts somebody else or not? Who makes that judgment? Anyway, I don't want to get off on too much of a tangent. I'm glad that in the U.S. of A. we have the freedom. I have the freedom to be a survivalist if I want. So far, best I can tell, nobody's preventing me from living the kind of life I want. From doing things the way I want to do them. From living life on my own terms. So that's another thing that I'm thankful for. Okay, so getting back to family for a minute, I'm thankful for family. I know we all have challenges with our family, but I'm thankful that they're there. I'm thankful I'm not going through this world alone, because that's the next topic I want to cover. Loneliness. So a lot of people go through this world that are lonely, and they don't have anybody in their life to be with them during the holidays. If that is you, my heart goes out to you. If you don't have anybody in your life to go through the holidays with, you know what? Call me. I'm serious. If you are a listener to this program, and even those of you who are participators in our forum, you don't have to be on our forum to be considered someone who participates in today's survival show. Even if you just tune in every week and listen to my shows, if you don't have someone to help you get through the holidays, use me. Send me an email. If you don't mind, give me your phone number. I'll give you a call. We'll talk about whatever you want. If you want to talk about preparedness, if you want to talk about, you know, stuff like that, we can certainly do that. Not a problem. That's great. Reach out to people that are on our forum. There's a lot of good, nice people on our forum. Just go to todayssurvival.com. That's the website, www.todayssurvival.com. Click the forum button. It'll take you where you need to go if you're not members. If you are members of the forum, bookmark the site if you haven't already. Take advantage of our chat room. You know what? We have a good chat room, folks, and there are people on there that would like to chat with you. Survival chat. We try to keep it, you know, focused on how to prepare. So if you're kind of lonely, you need people to interface with, do that. I am 100% serious about contacting me if you need that. I'm thankful that I have people around me. I have people in my immediate family and people in my extended family. I am very, very thankful for that. Don't always agree with them. Don't always get along with them. But I'm thankful that they're there because, you know what? Some of them will have my back if I need them to have my back, to watch me and to watch out for me. Okay? Next thing I'm thankful for, and this is a survival, definitely a survival skill, is safety. I'm thankful that so far I'm safe. And I do things to help make myself safe. You know, I take a lot of security measures into my own hands. You know, as most of you know, security is my business. I used to be heavily into the security alarm business. Now I'm in the access control business, building access control. In other words, controlling people, controlling who has entry points, who has access to a building, either with cards or either with key fobs and things like that. That's what I do now, is providing a way for commercial buildings to reduce the amount of risk to their security. So I take a lot of this into my own hands, and it's paid off. And see, safety, I really believe, after any disaster, I don't care if it's a weather disaster, if it's a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake, there's going to be safety issues to deal with after that. If it's a meltdown of society of some kind, if it's a loss of services, whether it's a loss of power or a loss of water or a loss of food services, there's going to be security risks that come with all that. You can't ignore security, folks. I think anybody who ignores security as a preparation is not being a real good survivalist, in my opinion. So I'm thankful for security. I'm thankful for that knowledge of knowing how to keep myself secure. And you know what, folks? Let me tell you, my security could probably be breached, and that's something I worry about all the time. And it's something that always stays in the top five list of my list of preparedness goals, is to always be increasing my home security, my family security, and my personal security. It's why I don't take things like concealed carry lightly. It's why I don't take things like home security lightly. It's why I don't take situational awareness very lightly. And I'm always trying to increase my knowledge and expand my knowledge base on how to pay attention to what's going out there, to what's going on out there. If some of you want to do that, let me recommend a good podcast called the Practical Defense Podcast by a guy named Alex Haddix. Practical Defense Podcast. A very good, you know, the name speaks for itself. He's very, very practical, and he gives you some very good situational awareness tips. If you're on iTunes, just search Practical Defense Podcast, or you can Google search Practical Defense Podcast. I highly recommend it. I listen to as many episodes of Alex's show that I can. So I am thankful for that too. And I'm also thankful that so far my government does not give me or does not take away my ability to secure myself and my family. I hope we never get to that point. Boy, I hope and pray, folks, we never get to the point where the government starts to take away our own ability to keep ourselves and our families safe. I want you to be thinking about that as you try to influence politicians. I don't care what country you're from. If you have the ability to influence your government, you better get extremely aggressive in trying to stop any efforts that your government takes to restrict you from keeping yourself secure. If you don't have security and safety, what do you have? Think about that. If you've got tons of food and water stored and tons of supplies, but you're not safe and people could come and take those from you at will, what do you have? Then you're at the mercy of somebody else and what their mood is that day, aren't you? I want you to think about that. I'm not going to say too much more about that. I think if you just kind of put that through your own thought process, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. Okay? The next thing I'm thankful for is health. So far, I'm doing okay, health-wise. So far, my family's doing okay, health-wise. We've had our challenges in the last 3 to 5 years. Health-wise, the last 3 to 5 years have been really tough for all three members of my family. For me, my wife, and my son. But you know what? I would say the last 6 or 9 months, we've been okay. There's been no major medical crises that have been going on. I'm thankful for that. I hope it continues. I battle with celiac disease. Celiac disease means I'm allergic to gluten. Means I'm allergic to just about anything with wheat in it. I want you to just sit for about 30 seconds and think about all the foods that you eat every day, folks, that have wheat. There is a ton of stuff that has wheat in it. So I received a death sentence a year and a half ago because I like to eat. I'm just joking when I say I received a death sentence. But as far as somebody who likes to eat, I received a death sentence, and that is I couldn't have anything with gluten in it. And most gluten-free foods don't taste very, very good. I've learned to make some on my own, and I've learned to make them taste good. Because things that are packaged or things that are canned or things that are boxed and stuff like that, it's good to stay away from those anyway. Those are not very healthy. Especially the gluten-free ones. They just taste like crap. But that hasn't been too bad for me lately. I've been able to manage it. I've learned how to structure my life. And health-wise, my family and I are doing okay. I'm very thankful for that. If you are going through a health crisis right now of some kind, I very much feel bad for you, and I mean that. I have a good friend of mine, good coworker, and you know what? You know, folks, how you ever notice that every once in a while something comes and something shows up in your life and it just slaps you across the face and makes you thankful for something and makes you realize how you need to prepare and why you need to prepare? That just happened to me about a week ago. A week ago, I was on the way to New York, upstate New York, for some training and orientation for my new job because my new employer is based in upstate New York in the Rochester area. And as I was making that trip up there, I was changing planes at Chicago O'Hare, and an old coworker of mine called me from my other employer, and he had some bad news. He had to tell me about one of our coworkers that I knew for 13 years that I became friends with, who just lost his daughter, who was under 40 years old. His daughter died of breast cancer. Okay, the guy I worked with, his daughter, who was, I think, only 38 or 39 years old, died from breast cancer. And that's one of those whack me across the head moments. I feel very sorry for Dick because, you know, Dick and I worked together a long time, and that's got to be very difficult to deal with. And it just reminded me why I have to prepare. Because I don't know what could happen to my health. At any time, I have no idea what could happen to my health. I have no idea when something could hit me and all of a sudden I'm not here for my family anymore. So I need to prepare for that. I need to make sure that if something happens to me and I'm not here for my family, once they got over the emotional trauma of that, that they would be able to exist and survive and live a decent life. Okay, so I'm thankful for that ability to provide for them. And so, that's pretty much my list of what I'm thankful for and what I'll be thinking about tomorrow and through the rest of the weekend. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to start the Christmas season till like next Monday. I'm going to treat this as Thanksgiving, and I'm going to continue to be thankful for the next several days. Well, I'm thankful every day of my life, but I'm going to pretty much consider this to be the Thanksgiving holiday and think about that for the next few days. If you have some things that you're thankful for that you really believe is a something that a prepper needs to hear, get on the forum and tell us about it. That would be great. Right? So let me finish up this short show, this short Thanksgiving show, by going over a little bit of history for you. And if this is not a story of survival, I don't know what is. This is survival at its best, folks. Here's the history of Thanksgiving. In September, in the year 1620, we've all heard of the Mayflower. It was a small ship, and it left Plymouth, England. It had 102 people on it. It had a bunch of religious separatists that were seeking a new home where they could really freely practice their faith. Isn't that interesting? They wanted a place where they could be free to practice their faith, one of the things that we value here in being thankful for our freedom. Okay, and also aboard that ship were a bunch of other people who were looking for prosperity and land ownership in a new world. Isn't that interesting? We're kind of pretty much still all about that, right? Land ownership and prosperity. After a treacherous and uncomfortable crossing that lasted 66 days, they dropped the anchor of their ship near the tip of Cape Cod, which now is in Massachusetts. Far north of their intended destination. Their intended destination was at the mouth of the Hudson River. Okay? About a month later, the Mayflower crossed Massachusetts Bay, where the Pilgrims, as they're now currently called, began the work of establishing a village at Plymouth. Now, right away, they faced a brutal winter, a very brutal winter. Most of the colonists remained aboard the ship, where they suffered from exposure. See, this is a story that doesn't get told a lot. A lot of them had scurvy. They had outbreaks of all different types of pandemics and contagious diseases. And you know, did you realize, folks, that only half the people that were aboard the Mayflower, half of the original passengers and the crew, even lived to see their first spring in New England? Only half lived. They landed in September of 1620. All right, so the winter came. The winter was coming. It was brutal. Only half of them lived to see spring. Okay, so in March, those that were remaining got off the ship, moved ashore, where they got an astonishing visit from an Indian who greeted them in English. Several days later, he returned with another Native American named Squanto, a member of the Pawtuxet tribe. Sorry, I got tongue-tied there. Pawtuxet, that's what it is. The Pawtuxet tribe, who had been kidnapped by an English sea captain and sold into slavery before escaping to London. Squanto taught the pilgrims, weakened by malnutrition and illness, how to cultivate corn, how to extract sap from maple trees, and how to catch fish in the rivers and avoid the poisonous plants. Sounds like survival to me, huh? How to cultivate corn, how to get the sap out of maple trees, catch fish in the rivers, stay away from the poisonous plants. Squanto taught him that. He also helped the settlers forge an alliance with the Wampanoag, another local tribe. I'm having a tough time with some of these Indian names, but I'm working on it. And they would endure for more than 50 years. And today, they still remain as one of the sole examples of harmony between European colonists and the Native Americans. In November 1621, about a year later, after the first pilgrims' first corn harvest proved to be successful, Governor William Bradford organized a celebratory feast and invited a group of some of the fledgling colony's Native American allies, including the Wampanoag chief, and they celebrated what Americans now know as the very first Thanksgiving. And although the pilgrims themselves may not have used the term at that time, the festival lasted for 3 days. Well, guess what? We're about to celebrate for a good 3 or 4 days, aren't we? And while no record really exists of the historic banquet's exact menu that they had, a pilgrim named Edward Winslow wrote in his journal that Governor Bradford sent four men on a fowling mission in preparation for the event, and that the Wampanoag guests arrived bringing five deer. So maybe that'll give you a little clue as to what they ate. Fowl and deer. Historians have suggested that many of the dishes that they prepared for that first Thanksgiving were probably prepared using a lot of Native American spices and Native American cooking methods. And because the pilgrims had no oven and the Mayflower's sugar supply had dwindled down to almost nothing by the fall of 1621, the meal did not feature pumpkin pies or cakes or other desserts, which we have come to know as the hallmark of contemporary Thanksgiving celebrations. Okay, now, the first Thanksgiving is not without its controversy. There's a lot of historians that still are not quite sure that it can be proven that that was the first Thanksgiving. But just that story alone, isn't that a story of survival? How first of all, half of these people didn't even live, folks. They didn't even live to realize their dream when they came over on that small ship. Didn't even live till springtime. So that's why I say I'm thankful for the gift of life. That's one of the reasons why I say that. And why I'm thankful to live in a modern society where we have excellent medicine. And we have the ability, for those of us who have access to that medicine, to live a long, productive life. Unlike some of these pilgrims back in 1620. And they fought off famine. And those who did survive, they learned new skills. They learned how to harvest corn. They learned how to get the sap out of the trees from the Indians, from the Native Americans. You know what? At that time, they had an open mind. Most of them, those who wanted to survive, had an open mind. So let me close with this. Have an open mind. Why don't you learn like those people that came over on the Mayflower in 1620? Why don't you learn from the people around you as they learned from the Native Americans there how to exist and how to have their first harvest? I'd like to encourage you to learn and keep your mind open. I've always said that your mind's like a parachute. It works best when it's open. And what a great story of survival. People coming over here and, you know, I mean, first of all, they had to suffer the losses of their comrades, half of them, who didn't make it. So I'm sure that was traumatic. And I'm sure those who did make it probably were not in very good health, folks. And here, they're suffering. They've come over on a small ship. It was a brutal trip. It was a brutal winter. Those that did survive, all of a sudden, now they got to learn some new skills. Now, all of a sudden, they have to learn to live off of the land. Something they probably have never really had to learn, and they were on a foreign land. You see, wherever that they came from, they were used to those lands. Now they had to learn from a bunch of Native Americans as to how to live off this land here in North America. And so regardless of what you believe of the history of Thanksgiving and whether or not it really marked the first Thanksgiving or the first Thanksgiving feast or the first Thanksgiving celebration or whatever, it's been made a national holiday now, and I'm glad it has. It's actually my favorite holiday of the year. I like Thanksgiving more than I like Christmas. I like the meaning of Thanksgiving. Of course, I like, you know, being a Christian, I like the meaning of Christmas too. You know, obviously for Christians, it was the birth of our Lord. But Christmas has become so commercialized, and Christmas, the meaning of Christmas has been so long forgotten that I'm starting to enjoy Thanksgiving, if not more, at least I'm enjoying Thanksgiving the same, and I'm enjoying being thankful for what I have around me. And so I want to close by saying this. I really believe that your survival and your existence starts with you being content, starts with you stopping to smell the roses, understanding that, you know what, you can make do with what you have wherever you are. And it really doesn't matter, folks, what you don't have. What matters is what you can learn to do. And so be thankful that you have a great God-given mind to be able to learn what to do. And please take that mind and use it and open it. And so with that said, I would like to thank you for listening to the 120th episode, my Thanksgiving message to all of you. My name is Bob Main, and you've just listened to today's Survival Show, where it is my goal to help you harness that power of choice to live life the way you want to live it and be thankful for the ability to do that. And at the same time, strengthening your resolve. I try to make survival simple on this show, folks. Not extreme. Thanks for tuning in. Have a very happy Thanksgiving, and I'll catch you next week. Take care.